It is indeed good to see each one of you here this day, and also I would surely appreciate an interest in your prayers, as Brother Sheldon has asked for. I would like to read today from 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter, and the 51st verse. These are words of Jesus Christ. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption into the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. We see here Christ in his own words saying that he came into the world, and he had come into the world to bring redemption unto the world. And that was his purpose in coming to this world, and also to save the world from sin. And it also gives the way here of repenting and becoming as a little child. And here is oft times in Christ's teachings, he said, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I would like to back up a bit in this same reading here, not actually reading, but bringing a few thoughts that preceded this particular statement here. We find that this statement was made by Jesus during this time of darkness that was upon the face of the Americas at the time of his crucifixion. In fact, the 3 hours of terrible destruction had just taken place, during which there was tempests, hurricanes, storms, fires, earthquakes, and all manner of destruction one might think of that took place upon these lands. And it says upon the land northward, of which I believe we live upon, it said there was a more and terrible destruction, for the whole face of the land was changed. We find the reason for this destruction taking place was because of these peoples here. Many of them had become very wicked. And as we will shortly read, only the more righteous were saved at this time, or were preserved, if you want to use this word instead. And we find that many cities were destroyed by fire, especially the more wicked ones. There was mountains come upon cities. There was those that were covered with water. There were those that were completely and totally destroyed, that they didn't even exist any longer. And this because of the wickedness of the people. And these people, after this terrible destruction had taken place, which was about the space of 3 hours, they mourned because of the loss of their fair ones and their loved ones in various cities. And they had cause to be concerned in this, that oh, that they had repented before this came place and took place. And I would like to read here, backing up a little bit in this same scripture here, the words again of Christ. Oh, all ye that are spared because ye were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me? Repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you. So he's asking those who were left to turn unto him, to repent, to be converted. You note here two key things: repentance. And we know all through the scriptures the importance of teaching repentance and preaching repentance unto the people, the importance of it being listed time and time again. But also here, conversion. Be converted unto him. And I believe that converted unto Jesus Christ is applying his commandments in our individual lives, whether it be these people or whether he would cause to be spoken by his word today these similar things, or whether his ministry would stand and preach, or whether there would be those who would teach, or whether you would read these scriptures that tells us the way and the truth and the light of all things. And so I feel that conversion is vital, that we apply the very plan of redemption in our individual lives, that we apply the commandments of Jesus Christ in our individual lives. And this is absolutely vital if we hope to receive fully. Yea, verily I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. And so Jesus' plan here laid out before the children of men. Not only those, because this was spoken to a definite people, but again, we have the written word for your benefit and my benefit today, and for the benefit of the peoples of this world. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive. And blessed are those who come unto me. And so this is important in our individual lives, to come fully unto Jesus Christ, to not alone say, I believe, which is vital, to believe that he is the Son of God, to believe that he was the one who brings redemption into the world, but also to apply his words in our life and his commandments. We know that in all things he set an example of the way and type of life we should live. And all too often man has deviated from that perfect plan and walked in his own way. And yet the scriptures clearly state that it is a straight and a narrow path that we must follow. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth and all things that in them are. And so he tells these people who he was. And after he had spoken to them here, he also indicated, how oft would I have gathered you in, and you would not? How oft would he have gathered those in Jerusalem in, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings in times of danger, in times of need? And they would not. These people would not. And yet, because they had certain qualifications here, they were sufficiently righteous at least to be saved the terrible destruction that took place upon many of their brethren, in which I believe perhaps maybe the greater number were killed or destroyed. And I would like to follow this train of thinking a bit further here. We would turn over in this same chapter of 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter, and verse 74. I would like to read again. And it came to pass that in the ending of the 34th year, behold, I will shew unto you that the people of Nephi who were spared, and also those who had been called Lamanites, who had been spared, did have great favors shown unto them, and great blessings poured out upon their heads, insomuch that soon after the ascension of Christ into heaven, he did truly manifest himself unto them, shewing his body unto them, and ministering unto them. And so we find Jesus Christ appearing to another people, even as he had told the people in Jerusalem that other sheep he had which were not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So we see that Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. He did not alone appear to one group of people in one separate area, but he appeared to peoples in other areas well. And he told these people here that they were the other sheep. He told them this. And we find that he did appear to these people upon this continent, upon these continents here. Probably Central America, I imagine, is where he appeared. He's generally thought this. But anyway, he appeared here to a people. And we find that these people were marveling over this great destruction that had taken place. But we find, evidently, after all that had taken place, they evidently began to change their lives even more fully, because it says that these who had been spared did have great favors shown unto them and great blessings poured out upon their heads. So evidently they was causing a change to be made in their individual lives, and they were drawing closer to the things that Jesus Christ had told them they should do, to repent and be converted. And we find that he did appear to these people. He allowed them to feel the prints in his hands and his side. They knew that he was Jesus Christ. And we find that even as he taught the people in Jerusalem and those areas round about, we have him teaching these peoples here. And we can read that in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. We can read it in the 6th chapter and in the 7th chapter. And we find a similar statement in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and I believe the 6th, and I believe maybe even part of the 7th. But anyway, we find in Matthew that Jesus Christ, at one time, because of the multitude of the peoples, went up onto a mountain, and he sat there. And his disciples come unto them, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Some of the most beautiful statements that were ever written, which we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. And it had things that are important for the well-being of the children of men. It had his commandments expounded and made plain unto the people. And so he taught those people in Jerusalem the various things they should do. And again, when he came to these people, again, he taught the people upon this continent these things as well. He taught them how important it is of serving him, of following his commandments. And he said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." He taught them how wonderful the peacemakers were, and I won't go into all these various things, the poor in spirit and these things. He taught them the various things that should be in their lives. But not alone did he teach these people this here, but he went a bit further, and he told them that they were the other sheep that he spoke to the people in Jerusalem about, that other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And he says, "You are this other sheep." And he spoke to them this. But also he says, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold, neither of the fold of Jerusalem." And he went on to speak concerning some lost tribes that he too would go and appear to. And you know, in all of this, the wonderful thing of all this, he caused that all these different ones would write records. And that these records one day would be had among the children of men. I am reading from one of those records now, and I will read from another record that was to those of Judah. And also we find that the time will come when those of the lost tribes, when they come in, will also have a record. We will find they will have these records, and we will have their record. And these records will all agree, and his word will be gathered in one. This has not been done yet. Only partly we have the Book of Mormon. But yet in all of this, he taught these people various things. And not alone this, he taught them and prophesied unto them as well of a day down to the time that you and I live within. He told them a time of the Gentiles. And he also went on down how different things would be revealed to the Gentiles. And then we come to this, we find him speaking of the time of the Gentiles when they would be lifted up in pride, when they would have iniquity among them, when they'd have all manner of sin among them. And this thing is being fulfilled before our very eyes. But we find, and I'd like to turn to that verse if I can find it. "But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel." This is 3 Nephi 7:38. But preceding this, he told of the priestcrafts and secret abominations and whoredoms and iniquity of about any things, lyings, deceits, and this that would be in abundance upon this land. And it also told, and I believe this is the United States of America specifically, it says, "When they shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations and above all the people of the whole earth." And I think this is happening. And so I think it would do us well to take heed and to look deeply within these scriptures that was caused to be written for the benefit of you and I today and any others that would care to take light of them or take heed of them. And these are written for a definite purpose. Now, I have a reason for bringing all these things in. Now, he taught these people here this when he came here. And after teaching them all this and what we call the Sermon on the Mount as well, he said this. 8th chapter of 3rd Nephi, starting with verse 1. Behold, now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he looked round about again on the multitude, and he said unto them, Behold, my time is at hand. And he says, I perceive that ye are weak, that ye cannot understand all my words, which I am commanded of the Father to speak unto you at this time. So he indicated here that he was able to see and understand that these people that he was speaking to did not understand all of his words. And he says, Therefore go unto your homes and ponder upon the things which I have said, and ask the Father in my name that ye may understand, and prepare your minds for the morrow, and I come unto you again. And so he knew here, he had given them a lot. And if he were to stand today and speak to you, maybe for the space of several hours, which I presumed he must have did here, maybe even longer, I have no way of knowing how long it was. But he spoke to these people. And if he would stand and speak today all of such things as this, I would dare say that there would be some words we might not understand, and we might need to go and ponder in our homes and think upon them. And then he says, Prepare your minds for tomorrow, and I come again. And he was going to come again. But now I go unto the Father, and also to shew myself unto the lost tribes of Israel, for they are not lost unto the Father, for he knoweth whither he hath taken them. So he knows where he has taken them. And he was going to go there. But when he looked about upon this multitude of people, they were within tears in their eyes. And as Jesus Christ so often had, and that was this, compassion for people in need. And these people were in need. And he says, I have compassion for you. My bowels are filled with compassion for you. Have you any sick among you? Have ye any lame or blind? Have ye any that are deaf? Have ye any that are afflicted in any manner, leprous or whatever it is? Bring them hither. And then I want you to notice here, For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. And notice that, sufficient. Here was a people that were being converted unto the Lord. And I believe they were converted. And he says, I see that your faith is sufficient. And then, if we go a bit further in this same marvelous reading, we find with one accord that they did bring forth all their sick, their afflicted, their deaf, and their blind, and their lame, and their lepers, or those that have withered hands, or whatever it was, and he healed them, every one. And imagine this marvelous experience that these people saw and partook of here. And then he caused that another thing would take place. He said, And it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought. And then he had them set down. And then we find that Jesus Christ offered some rather marvelous words. And let's read from about the 15th verse of 3rd Nephi, the 8th chapter. And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and said, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record who heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath ear heard before so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. Now they heard some marvelous things. These people had some marvelous experiences. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And so they did have a great marvelous experience here. And then he took their little children one by one and blessed them. And then we find another marvelous experience. And as they looked, he says, behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open. Now this, picture this, if you may, this marvelous experience in your mind's eye. This picture this. And they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. What a marvelous experience they had. And they were encircled about with fire. And the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true. And so we have here this wonderful experience. And then after this, Jesus Christ, shortly after this, ascended unto the Father. I won't go into the other things that happened, but he did ascend unto the Father, and then again reappeared unto this people again. And I want to read of this circumstance in 3 Nephi, again, the 9th chapter, and verses 32 through 35. And they had been engaging in prayer and numerous things of themselves. And this same people here, we notice, when Jesus had ascended into heaven, they wanted to be there so much on the morrow to be with him that they spent the night going around and telling everybody about that Jesus is going to be there tomorrow to teach these people. And he was there again. So let's read here. And it came to pass that he went again a little way off and prayed unto the Father. And tongue cannot speak the words which he prayed, neither can be written by man the words which he prayed. No way. But imagine, here was a people that heard. And the multitude did hear and do bear record. And their hearts were open, and they did understand in their hearts the words which he prayed. But yet man could not utter them. Nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he prayed that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by man. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying, he came again to the disciples and said unto them, so great faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore I could not shew unto them so great miracles because of their unbelief. And even though he spent a number of years among the Jews, so great faith had he never seen among them. So he says, I could not show them so great things as I've shown unto you. And these people here did have some marvelous things. We know in Jerusalem, likewise, Galilee and those areas round about there, he did heal their sick. He raised their dead and all manner of things like that. But I don't believe they had this experience that these people here had just had. So great and marvelous things they heard him speak that they could not be uttered by man, or neither could they be written. And yet they did understand in their hearts. I would like to turn again. And some might think I'm trying to wear out 3 Nephi today. But anyway, again, I wish to read from 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter, and verses 10 and 11. Now this is a little bit later. And it came to pass that the disciples whom Jesus had chosen, and we find that one of the first things he did when he came here, he chose 12 disciples. He gave them authority or power to baptize. He gave them the authority to preach his gospel and all this. And it came to pass that the disciples whom Jesus had chosen began from that time forth to baptize and to teach as many as did come unto them. And as many as were baptized in the name of Jesus were filled with the Holy Ghost. I think this bears a point as well. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And indeed, they must have been complying with what Jesus Christ said. To be converted, and another of his teachings here that I didn't bring out, be converted and become as a little child. And many of them saw and heard unspeakable things which are not lawful to be written. And they taught and did minister one to another, and they had all things common among them, every man dealing justly one with another. Now note that. Every man dealing justly one with another. That's the way they did it. Let's turn now to 4th Nephi. And I'd like to start with the first verse. In the first chapter, there's only one chapter, so I guess that isn't too important. Anyway, it said that it came to pass that the 34th year passed away. And it said here that some of this, that in the ending of the 34th year, you remember? That soon after his ascension into heaven, he appeared to these people. And the 35th year, and behold, the disciples of Jesus, these ones he had chosen, had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. And as many as did come unto them and did truly repent of their sins were baptized in the name of Jesus. And they did also receive the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in the 36th year the people were all converted unto the Lord. Now, I don't know whether we can even fathom that or even begin to understand such a thing as this. But nonetheless, here was a people in about 2 years' time, a little less, I would say, that were all converted unto the Lord. That's what it says here. Upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites. And note this, and there were no contentions and no disputations. That would be a wonderful place, wouldn't it? A wonderful people to be among. And every man did deal justly one with another. Yes, I think you and I can gather some pretty good thoughts to apply to our individual lives, don't you, from these passages of Scripture this day that I brought out here. Deal justly one with another, no contention, no disputations. Yes, and it didn't end there. And they had all things common among them. Therefore they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. And so you see what a marvelous condition here existed among these peoples. And not only that, it says there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, and they were able to heal the sick. Yes. They could raise the dead, cause the lame to walk and the blind to receive their sight and the deaf to hear. And all manners of miracles, and all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men, and in nothing did they work a miracle, save it were in the name of Jesus. I don't intend to read all this, but let's go over to verse 14. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And I believe maybe this is the key to the mighty miracles, a part of it. No contention among all the people. And no means none. It says, and it came to pass that there was no contention in the land. Why? Because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And we find time and time again listed in the Scriptures the importance of love in Christ's plan of salvation. They list charity. They list faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. And charity, according to the Book of Mormon, is a pure love of Christ. According to the dictionary, it says Christian love. So whichever way you want to take it. And it is. And the greatest of these is charity. And without that, we can do nothing. And so here, these people had all this because the love of God did dwell in their hearts, and there was no envy. That takes in a lot of territory. No envy. And yet today, envy is one of the things we got to be careful of. Covetousness is a thing we got to watch. Maybe somebody's possessions, or maybe it might even be somebody's talents, or somebody's capacity or capabilities. We all have our own particular thing we can do. We all have things we can do better than others. We all have things that we're not as good at. We know this. I mean, I think everyone knows himself if he'll be honest with himself. I know there's many things I can't do. also, like I've told our young people in Grand Junction and my having taught them through different classes through the years, the older I get, the more I find I don't know. I sometimes wonder. But then I think this is part maybe of growing older. You realize that there's so many things you're never going to know. But yet there's things I do know, and that is various things that Christ has set here for us to do are important to apply to our lives. No strifes, and strifes is contention or quarreling. Tumults, and tumults is violent agitation of mind or feelings. It says there was none of these things. There was no whoredoms or lyings or murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And now I want you to note the next verse. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. And so I thought these points might be interesting to you. I want to turn to the book of Acts and read a few verses here. Second chapter, and starting with verse 41 and reading through about 44. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now I want you to notice the next. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And these apostles' doctrine was what was handed down direct to them by Jesus Christ. And fellowship, association one with another, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. But I want you to notice these marvelous conditions that existed here. Let's turn over to another verse here in the fourth chapter and 32nd verse. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now I want us to think upon these passages of Scripture that I brought out today. Let them sink deeply into your heart. It says they were one heart, one soul. I think this is a thing that must exist before that marvelous condition that we have spoken of here of all things common could exist. I believe that a person must have, his personal righteousness must have sufficient that it might exist. I believe that it would be the result of righteous living. And yet we see here of the marvelous way of life that it is. And yet these people had no contention or strife. We read of in the Book of Mormon here that they had more explanation on it than actually they do in the Bible. But I want to read a little further here. Again from 4th Nephi, chapter 1, verse 26, and maybe through 28. And now I, Mormon, would that you should know that the people had multiplied insomuch that they were spread upon all the face of the land, and they had become exceeding rich because of their prosperity in Christ, having dealt justly one with another, having lived together in righteousness, having had no contention or disputations. But let's note a thing entering in. And now in this 201st year there began to be among them who were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel, and all manner of fine pearls, and of the fine things of the world. They began to be lifted up in pride. And I think not only can you be lifted up in pride of possessions, you can be lifted up in pride of your capabilities, of your talents that the Lord gives you. Maybe somebody is a rather marvelous musician, or a singer, or something else they can do real well. And we have those. But we must not become prideful because of certain things we can do well. It doesn't mean you aren't supposed to do them well, but don't be lifted up in pride because of them. Because here was a people who fell because of pride. And listen to this. Because of this thing entered into their hearts, and from that time forth they did have their goods and their substance no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and even began to deny the true church of Christ. And that is a sad thing. It almost makes one weep of the degree that these people arrived at, of the high place of civilization they lived within, of the degree of righteousness they attained, and yet because of pride they fell, and this marvelous condition they had no longer existed. And the same thing would exist today. Even pride could prevent it from coming about, could it not? The same way as it stopped it from functioning here. And so it's something to think about. Pride is something one must needs rid himself of. Because two great nations raised here and two great nations failed here or fell because of pride. The Jaredites and later the Nephites. And also we're told of this land that we live on, that whosoever shall possess it shall serve the God of the land who is Jesus Christ. Or what happens when they're ripe in iniquity? They'll be swept off the face of the land. And so I think we have scriptures outlined before us of their importance in our individual lives, of the things we must apply, that we must so order our lives that we might fully live the commandments of Jesus Christ, that we might attain a sufficient righteousness that these marvelous blessings could be poured out upon us too. There's a song we sometimes sing, number 204 here. I want us to just briefly touch upon it. Awake, ye saints of God, awake. Call on the Lord in mighty prayer that he will Zion's bondage break and bring to naught the fowler's snare. He will regard his people's cry, the widow's tear, the orphan's moan. The blood of those that slaughtered lie pleads not in vain before his throne. Then let your souls be stayed on God. A glorious scene is drawing nigh. Though tempests gather like a flood, the storm, though fierce, will soon pass by. Yes, we're going to have some severe storms, not only of conditions in the world, of catastrophes of weather or maybe earthquake and this, but even problems within the midst of the children of men. And yet we have the key of the scriptures and help us, that can help us to attain to sufficient righteousness that we can weather any storm, and it don't matter what it is. Awake to union and be one. Maybe that's one of it. Or saith the Lord, ye are not mine. Ye like the Father and the Son, let all the saints in union join. And so I feel this goes along with this. One heart, one soul. I would like to read a passage of scripture from Isaiah, the 51st chapter. I just read in that song about Zion, and I don't want to touch much there. But I want to close with this, because it's been something that has been thought about, talked about, preached about in the life of everyone here, probably since you can remember. This is the 51st chapter of Isaiah, and starting with verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. A joyous thing. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? And yet today men are afraid of mankind. But it says, who art you that are afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. This is plain language, isn't it? And as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? But now listen to this in the 15th verse. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand. that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people.